Hi, everyone, and welcome to the second episode of Flocking Around. My name is Kendi Hilliard, and I'm today's host. Today is a pretty special day because I have one of my good friends here to chat about life as a student athlete. Please welcome Danny Gerges, one of the goalies from the soccer team and this year's SAC president.
Hi, Kendi. Thank you for inviting me on your podcast today. I'm super excited to share some of my experiences and kind of hear a little bit more about yours.
Yeah, I'm just really excited. We just have so much in common, and we've always talked about that a little bit. But since the audience doesn't know us well at all, Danny and I are like both from out of state. We have served or are serving as SAC presidents in Danny's case. We both went to work in college athletics after our playing careers, and we've experienced coaching changes in the past year. And we were also early enrollees in college, which is absolutely crazy because that's not happening as much anymore. But the list goes on and on about how much we have in common. We probably have so much more.
Definitely.
But yeah, let's first dive into our experience as early enrollees. Like, do you regret your decision at all?
I know, like, graduating early was definitely such a shock, especially like when I first brought it up to my parents or my friends, because it's not really normal. Like, your classmates don't really do that. But in my personal opinion, I think that it was one of the best decisions I could have made coming to college. I think it allowed me to get acclimated to the team during an off season, especially since soccer is a fall sport. And then that spring, my team actually had an international trip planned for spring break. So I had the opportunity to play soccer in Costa Rica and kind of visit a country I've never been to. So that was super awesome. I did surfing and all that good stuff. And that was right before the COVID-19 lockdown. So I got to squeeze out some good parts of college before we got sent home. But I think this decision was huge for me as both like a student and an athlete, because like my transition into college athletics was so much smoother. And I think like when freshmen came in during the fall, it can be pretty hectic jumping straight into the season.
Yeah, I completely agree. I definitely think it was one of my best decisions in life. To graduate early. And it was kind of funny because I knew I was already going to this university. And before, I think it was around the summer before my senior year, I was just thinking about like what it would be like to like graduate high school early and then go to college early, because I had seen it with a few of my different friends who played college volleyball across the nation. And I was just like, I wonder what that would be like. And I swear, like, probably a week later, my old coach calls me and she was just like, so what do you think about this opportunity? And I was just like, sure. I was actually just talking to my mom about this. Mm-hmm. So I was able to do all of that. And I think you're right. It allowed us to be like acclimated to the culture of the team, to the weather.
Oh yeah.
The weather was a factor in itself. Like, I moved in on a snowstorm. My first semester, I had the polar vortex, negative 29 degree weather, where they said if you go outside, your skin will instantly freeze. I was like, I'm mortified. And I was just like, I was in my room by myself because my roommate was a women's basketball player. So she was at an away game too. So I was just, it was a whole lot, but I definitely agree that it was one of my better decisions, not only because it allowed me to get ahead academically, but just to experience the college game of volleyball, because my club, I came from a small club in a small town, and my high school team was small too. Mm-hmm. So it just allowed me to get adjusted to the pace of college volleyball, like at a quicker, like just mentally too. So yeah. I'm very appreciative of that. I'm glad you brought that up. Mm-hmm. It's so weird that it's like 3 years or 3.5 years for me.
I know. I think the same thing. It confuses which class I feel like I'm in. Yeah. Part of me thinks that I should be graduating with the seniors now. And then part of me feels like I should stick with the juniors. It definitely puts me in this weird class.
Yeah, I definitely agree, because I think At the beginning of my career, I was just like, what class am I in? Am I in my own class? And then volleyball had like a tradition of someone would always come in early, except for the class underneath me, but two of him in early after me. So I was just like, oh, this is just something normal we do. But
yeah,
kind of to switch gears, I think I was able to cope with this by doing things I was like super passionate about, which was like learning like leadership dynamics and SAC, of course. Mm-hmm. And like, speaking of SAC, like, let's explain to our audience what SAC is and like, and for you personally, how has it impacted your college experience?
Yeah, so SAC stands for Student Athlete Advisory Council, and basically SAC serves as the link between student athletes and administration. And I've really enjoyed being a part of SAC because I think that it allowed me to have a voice for student athletes and for my team in a way that's like different than leadership with your team itself. So I was actually selected to be in SAC during my freshman year at a time where like our coaches selected representatives. And every year since then, I have taken like a higher role from being like a team rep to the MVC representative and now to SAC president. And I think SAC has been huge for my career because it kind of allowed me to be a leader in a different way, because obviously the way sports are in college, it's very easy for it to define you, the minutes you play, with whether or not you're a starter, if you're a freshman versus a junior. I think that I needed a different outlet other than just being on my team, and SAC presented itself to me, and I knew I had wanted to like work in sports after college. I didn't know exactly which avenue, and then after being in SAC, I'm like, oh my goodness, I could really see myself working in administration or doing something like this long term. So it really helped me like almost show myself that I am not just Danny Gerges who maybe didn't play 1 year or gets a few minutes. I'm Danny Gerges who can, you know, lead student athletes and can, you know, bring value and work with administration and kind of really do things that are important to the school. So I'm like extremely thankful for the way SAC has shaped my college experience. And, you know, Kendi, you and I have talked about this like before, that it brings such, I don't even know like the right words to describe it, but like, it really helps, you know, like what you're worth, like you are worth more than what your sport kind of says you are. And sometimes sports is what everyone, you know, wants to like define themselves in. And some people really want to play in that next level, but I know that like, I will not be playing past college, and like the way that being a student athlete can help me get to positions in SAC or further is what's like really important to me.
Yeah, for sure. And I can definitely say, yeah, I have loved our conversations just because you do get it. And I think it's always helpful to get another perspective that like, you don't seem like you're drowning in your like kind of a sense of guilt, because like, as an athlete, you always want to be that person that like it's built in nature. So like, you, when you don't get that opportunity, or if you do get that opportunity, like you're like playing with so much mental game, like you're playing such a mental game, because like, when you don't have the minutes, you don't want to mess up. Mm-hmm. And like your mistakes are like kind of detrimental sometimes. And you like have to keep working through that. So like kind of how I coped with it was like you said, through SAC, reaching out to other sports and other student athletes. That was like a big help. And then like, I am a big advocate in like therapy and like trying to better myself. So I was able to go talk to the sports psychologist, not just on the mental aspect of like playing the game, but like what to do and like how to better myself, of like when my role did change, was I like so caught up in my head that I was nervous to get pulled that I wasn't playing to my fullest potential because I had the fear of, oh, I'm gonna get pulled, or I'm gonna get pulled, or was I like playing out my role of just being comfortable being on the bench because I didn't want to be the person who would make the mistake or make the big play. because it was so like high risk, high reward as well. So I think just going to see the sports psychologist really helped me out, because excuse me, because even like towards like the like kind of my junior and senior year, I like started going through body image issues as well. Mm-hmm. So it like was just good to like work through some things of like just being a student athlete, everything is so mental. And like, I don't think people understand that outside of being a student athlete, like mm-hmm. you go through, like you're battling your coaches, you're battling yourself, you're battling your future self, you're battling the class underneath you, you're battling the person who has a starting role, like the person who's like trying to come take your spot. So like every day is like a gritty battle. So like, mm-hmm. I just think people kind of lose sight of that. And that's kind of how I was able to cope, was just WITSAC, being able to find my leadership voice mm-hmm. and like find my identity outside of my sport. And I think the sooner student athletes realize that their identity is not tied to their sport, mm-hmm. one, the better their mental health will be. And then they will experience college at such a different mindset and level, because like you don't have as much pressure on yourself.
Oh, definitely. I 100% agree with that, because I think, you know, a bad practice could easily ruin my whole day if I let it. Not playing in a game can affect my relationship with my coaches or doing stuff like that. And I think that once you stop like tying those things with yourself, then you're able to like build those relationships in a different way. You can kind of take a look like, maybe why is this happening? Or like, mm-hmm. you know what, this was my soccer time. Now I'm going to class. Like, this is me being a student. I'm not thinking about soccer now. Or, oh, I met a friend in my class. I'm going to go hang out with her. It's someone else that's like outside of my sport and kind of looks at me differently. So I think that's definitely huge. Like, you can experience college so much differently when like your sport doesn't define everything about your day.
Literally, because I even think that sometimes you can go through the mindset of like not even feeling worthless, but like you don't know who to go talk to, because mm-hmm. like if you're like reaching out to someone, you feel weak, like because you're mm-hmm. supposed to be a student athlete, you're supposed to grind this out, like you're supposed to be the one to say, oh, I'm big bad and indifferent, or like mm-hmm. I'm supposed to be that person. But like in reality, like you need to talk to someone, and like even if it's not like someone who is a sports psychologist, just like talking to another student athlete, because they get the grind too. They're not going to understand your specific sports, like, oh, I need to roll shot this ball over, like you're probably not going to understand that as a soccer player. And then some of the things like you say in goalie talk, I'm definitely not going to understand it, but I'm just going to sit here and be like, oh, I understand like your team dynamic, I understand like how to, if you have a question about talking to a coach or whatnot, and like just how to build your brand. Excuse me. So I think that's just been really important. And like, you as student athletes, you really need to find a way to cope with like every situation of being a student athlete, being a student, being an athlete, being a person. Like, mm-hmm. you just have to. There's no other way.
Definitely.
And with that being said, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We love meeting our fans and hope to see you at one of our live events in October, either in person or online. Listen to this announcement with the details and sign up soon.
What's it like to be a college volleyball player? From recruiting to championships to graduation, you'll hear the tips and stories of four seniors who have done it all. Join the hosts of the Flocking Around podcast, either in person or online, Sunday, October 16th at 1 p.m. It'll be 90 minutes of fun, questions, answers, and an autograph session afterward. For registration and other details, visit the Red and White College Volleyball Facebook page at Red White College VB. And look for the event called My College Volleyball Life.
All right. And we're back. So, Danny G, I have a quick question for you.
What's up?
Okay. So I was just like thinking and reflecting about like life after sports and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, since we're both trying to be administrators after our playing careers, like, have you ever thought about like all the stories we'll tell our student athletes about like NIL and COVID?
Dude, don't even get me started. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like trying to describe what like a COVID season was. That was crazy. Sometimes I forget that like we went through that. Like
literally.
It's like a mental block in my mind. I don't even know, but it's going to be crazy that student athletes won't have to like deal with that. I mean, hopefully, fingers crossed, no one has to deal with literally. That anymore. But
because I just think about how I pulled up pictures of Leanna and Nona from mm-hmm. their playing days.
Oh my god!
And I just know I'm gonna have a student athlete come up to me and like have a picture of me playing in a mask. Like I just know it's gonna happen. Like they're not gonna say anything about like the championship rings that my team won. They're just gonna see well AD Kimmy, why are you playing in a mask? I'm like, that's the times. That's what it was at the time. That was the fashion trend. But we have to take time to think about this. But in your opinion, what do you think will be your biggest piece of advice for future student athletes?
I mean, that's tough, but I think like my biggest piece of advice, I think would kind of go back to like what we were talking about earlier, is to find ways to be like involved, whether that is something like SAC, or that you have a job outside of sports, or that you're in a club affiliated with like your major or something. I think that it's super important to not close down. Obviously being a student athlete opens up so like a world of opportunities that regular students don't have. But I think that there's also a whole different side of college that regular students get that maybe we don't. I think just kind of like opening yourself up to other opportunities that may not directly involve your sport. And I guess this is another piece of advice or a little thought, but just understand that almost every role is going to be hard. And I don't think I realized that when I came to college and like got to be in the environment. Starting is hard. Being second string is hard. Not traveling is hard. Like there's nothing that is necessarily easy. And I think like you just have to really prepare yourself for the positions you're going to be in. And there's going to be so many benefits and so many rewards that come, but it's definitely not easy. What would you say, Kendi? I mean, you're almost on your way out, so you better have some advice rolling.
Okay, first of all, you're not about to make me old on my own podcast. Like, don't do that to me. But I think you kind of hit every point that I was going to make of like just getting involved in something outside your sport and outside of your life as a student athlete. But if anything, I would say like be nice to yourself. Like you're going to go through so much change, like not even just with like your sport, but like there's going to be days you fall out of love with your sport. There's going to be days you fall out of love with your teammates, your coaching staff. Like there's just going to be hard days. And like the Duke women's basketball coach said, you gotta be able to handle hard better. Mm-hmm. And I think just being able to like always think of like bettering yourself in a sense that like you may not get better like 10%, but can you get 1% better each day? And that's something I kind of live by. Like I mentally reflect before I go to bed of like, did I get better today? Not even on the court, but as a person, did I grow in a leadership role? Did I, was I able to change someone's day and impact someone's day positively? And like, if I wasn't, like, what can I do the next day to be better at that task? Mm-hmm. And I think just another piece of advice is like have goals for yourself and don't be afraid to change the goal, because like mm-hmm. goals are just something you write down, but like your expectation of yourself is going to be ever changing.
Yeah.
Like I came into college and I was 180 pounds mm-hmm. and I wasn't the four sport athlete I was in high school when I was like 165 mm-hmm. my freshman year, but like your body is going to change so much throughout your years, especially as female athletes, like things just change. Like you grow into like your womanly body, essentially. As like, it's just going to happen. So like learn how to love yourself, love your image, love what you're putting out, and like constantly like try to better yourself in a different way. Like, you're not going to be the same person you were each year and even each semester, because like your falls, or for us, our fall is our competitive season, and then our spring is our like train, bulk up, like lift as much as you can type of season. And like, you're going to grow in each season, but you just got to make sure you're not stagnant. And yeah. So I would definitely say, just be nice to yourself, be kind. Like, every day isn't going to be a great day, mm-hmm. but just learn to love something about yourself even more. Mm-hmm. Okay, Danny G, before we get to our next session, here's a special announcement about one of our upcoming events.
If you're a casual college volleyball fan, you know that the first team to win three sets wins the match. But how do they call plays? What's an illegal rotation? And what the heck are the libero rules? Join the hosts of the Flocking Around podcast, either in person or online, Sunday, October 30th at 1 p.m. It'll be 90 minutes of fun, questions, answers, and an autograph session afterward. For registration and other details, visit the Red and White College Volleyball Facebook page at Red White College VB and look for the event called Volleyball 201.
And we're back. All right, now it's enough talking about me, Kendi. I'm ready to talk about you. So I've got a couple questions from the listeners. And starting off hot with the first question is, what is your plan for the transition of not being a Division I student athlete anymore, especially since it's your identity currently?
That's actually a really great question, because I've definitely been thinking about this a lot recently, because I graduated in December.
Crazy. And
yeah, I know, huge accomplishment, but been really thinking heavily about how to like train my body after not being a D1 athlete. Mm-hmm. And like, I dislike running. I don't know how the soccer players do it. Like, and I talked to my strength and conditioning coach. I was just like, I don't necessarily love running, but I love lifting. So like, but I also don't want to be like a unit either. So like, and I think just my plan for transition is like, first to figure out like a job, obviously, but then secondly is just trying to figure out like who I am outside of my sport, which I kind of already had, like, I wouldn't say an identity crisis, but like, I just knew that I like grew and I valued myself more than being a student athlete. So that transition isn't necessarily hard, like the mental transition of that. But like, I think it's more of a physical transition of like trying to like fuel my body. But like, plan is in progress and I'm definitely going to figure it out quite soon.
Amazing. And definitely, I think a lot of times plans come with like trial and error and being, you know, as time comes, what's working for you, what doesn't work for you, finding an influencer you like, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a girl on soccer that I like. She like played college soccer. Now it's like her transition after. I really like, you know, seeing stuff like that on social media. But
well, because you remember when we did the SAC meeting of like life after sports, and we asked like the former student athletes, like, so how did you, what was your transition like of not working out? And people were just like, well, the goal is not to get fat. I was just like, I can relate to that. I definitely feel like whenever I become an administrator, of like when we're trying to figure out like life after sports things, how are we helping our alumni with like, because clearly this is an issue that like most alumni are going through. Like, how can we create programming for them? Like, because like you go from being a full-time student athlete, like you're eating out the wazoo to like not eating as much, and like you're not training nearly as much. Unless you're like a professional athlete. So that's going to be a programming coming soon.
I think that's a good plan. In kind of switching gears for my next question for you, I wanted to touch on like NIL and how that has kind of surfaced in college athletics. So what are your thoughts on NIL and how it has/will impact mid-major Division I programs?
Yeah, So first, I will like say my thoughts on NIL. I think it's an amazing opportunity just for student athletes to have that opportunity to make money on their name, image, and likeness. I think it's going to be a game-changing thing down the line. And I really don't like, or I don't necessarily love how people are saying that student athletes are transferring because of that. I mean, like there are, like we're not naive to that, but I definitely can say like people transfer for different reasons. So like student athletes need to think bigger picture. Like this isn't just going to impact you for your 4 years. Like this is going to be something that you can put on your resume under jobs and everything. But like I've been reaching out to like clothing brands that like have like business attire. Like I'm going to be in the office 24/7. So like, I won't have like good, nice fits for for after sports and like even like shoes, like just thinking about something that's going to benefit me that way. And like, I love doing the podcast as well, because that allows me to tell my story. And like, cause people miss that component of like connecting with student athletes as well. So I would say people just need to think bigger picture. Like it's so much more than just, I show up, I sign an autograph. Like it's like, if you want to be a brand ambassador, like that's great. And like, if you want to paint and draw and like sell bracelets and everything, that's great too. There's just so many other opportunities that I just want people to expand their image of name, image, and likeness. We as student athletes, especially at mid-majors, like we're attracting kind of like different geographics than Power Fives. I think it's going to be a game changer in the mid-major D1 programs, because people are so gung-ho on being Power Five, Power Five, Power Five, that like there's so many different opportunities for mid-majors as well.
I think that's a great point, especially like maybe some like local businesses or something may not gain the traction from like a Power Five school can really like hit home for student athletes that are like mid-major. So I definitely agree with you. And on the same track of like opportunities, obviously college has given you opportunities with NIL. Just being a student athlete in general opens the door for so much. So like, what opportunities have you feel like have opened up for you since being a Division I athlete?
I definitely would say relationships have been is a big one, and it's my first one. I've made friendships across other sports, friendships within my team, and even like connections to the administration, my coaches, other coaches, and people who work in the conference, people nationally, just because of the student athlete brand. And even people on campus, like when you walk, like people kind of know who you are, which was a little weird at first, but then like you kind of get adjusted to it. But like, I also have the capabilities now that I'm older, I definitely can see myself making more of a connection on campus. And I think that's another tip, is like getting on campus more, like meeting your professors and not just saying, oh, I'm a student athlete, like get to know them, like their families type of thing. I'm getting done with my master's, so like it allowed me to get a great education. And especially in a span of 4 years of my playing career. So just being a student athlete at that time of doing both, it allowed me to be like a little more resilient in the sense of like getting things done, which I think every student athlete has that ability too. And then lastly, of course, the championships. Like you get to bond with your teammates for years to come. You're raising banners. Like you get to come back and you're 10, you're 20, you're 50. When we're all old ladies, I can see Steph Jankiewicz and I talking about stuff from my freshman year. And you're just sitting there like, it's so much more impactful too, like connecting with your teammates, making them become your friends, and like having friends outside the team is just, it goes back to relationships as well. So, so many opportunities of being a student athlete.
I can hear it. I think that your college experience, Kendi, is nothing short of impressive. I think it's pretty cool things that you've been able to accomplish. I mean, really, like what you said, academically, being able to complete both your undergrad and your master's in such a short time, and then accomplishing things outside of your sport. You know, you're president of SAC for a period of time. You are a part of a sorority outside of sports. You are doing so much. You are winning championships. Like, I think that your college experience is definitely like one of a kind. It's been super cool to kind of watch you maybe a year younger than you and kind of see like all the things that you've accomplished, because it's definitely not, I mean, it's like you said student athletes have the resilience to do stuff that you do, but like, it's definitely not normal what you do.
Yeah.
But you are one of a kind in that way, and I think that is super awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate the kind words. You're truly the best, and you're one of my great relationships I've formed here.
Thank you. But I do have some more questions. So, right. Like we talked about earlier, we're both from out of state. I went to high school in Las Vegas, and then you are from Texas. And so you're far away from home. How do you manage it? Like, are you able to go home on breaks? Do you miss home? Like, kind of, how does that work?
Yeah, I was able to manage it because my mom and my family is like super supportive. They were able to come to a lot of my games each year, except for like COVID. COVID was a big issue. And I think just like taking advantage of that time at home, like as much as I would have loved to go to Florida or go somewhere tropical for spring break, but when you're training so hard in the spring, like you really want to go home and get that good home cooked meal, like,
yeah.
Let's enjoy the sun, because like it's like 28 degrees and like 6 feet of snow outside, and it gets a little hard. So like taking advantage of your time at home and like trying to make sure your spring break lines up with your friends, and like sometimes it doesn't, but being able to like at least just go back home and enjoy the sun is kind of like how I managed it. And my friends and family have just been super supportive, because even my brother, he was able to go off to college before me, so I knew it was like a dream, mm-hmm. and like it was something that was possible, and my mom kind of instilled that in us. So like it's I don't think it's been a hard manage. I don't think I got homesick until COVID happened, to where I literally couldn't like see a whole lot of people, because we had to keep a tight circle because of like contact tracing and everything. But yeah, I would definitely just say I managed it by just taking advantage of the time at home and my family coming to support as much as they can.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And last kind of bigger question that I have for you is, obviously, like, sports take up a lot of our time. You know, we have set time blocks for when we have practice, when we have lift, maybe study hall, and then you have regular classes on top of it. Now, what's something that you like to do to kind of relax, get your mind away from sports, kind of just do you? Like, what's your go-to?
I hate to say, sometimes I like to bury myself in work. Like, I love, like, when I had SAC, I was up to like crazy hours just working on flyers, because it's something I enjoyed. But like, yeah. Something outside of work, I'm just like, I love to sit down and go through a whole Marvel phase. Like, I'm watching from beginning to end, like all the way to Infinity War I'm watching, or Endgame, and I'm watching like the shows, like, uh-huh. I'm on YouTube trying to do Easter eggs and deep dives. Like, it's a weird obsession, but it makes me sane, essentially. And yeah. I just, not even just Marvel, like, I just love, I like schedule in my calendar, like, it's like a green block of like TV shows I watch on the daily, just to keep myself sane. Because I need to watch someone else's life to know that mine actually took that part out. I just love watching Marvel movies and just enjoying my time of like socializing with friends. Oh, definitely. I socialize with my friends and family from as much as I can. Like, I try to make sure I call my grandparents once a month or once every other week. Like, I haven't been doing a good job because it's season and I get out of practice and class so late, but I'll do a better job with that soon. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Nathan, Paw.
I love it. I really loved hearing more of your thoughts on all of these questions, Kendi. And now I have some fun questions prepared too that I wanted to ask before we close out this podcast. Are you ready to answer some more?
Hit me.
All right. First one, books or movies?
Movies, of course.
Next one, favorite team to support?
But if I had to choose... this is tough because I live with women's basketball and I played basketball, so I have that connection. I played softball and had an old roommate on the softball team. I have you, and you're one of my closest friends. And then gymnastics is like just bananas to watch.
Yeah.
And then women's tennis is crazy, like swim and dive, like all the women's sports, like it's so fun to watch. Like, the only team I haven't been able to watch is women's golf, which is kind of in the same season as us. But I'm definitely, instead of picking one, I'm going to just go all women's sports.
I cop out answer, but we'll take it. We'll take it. And now, okay, so we just talked about like favorite teams to support and everything. But what about like watching games? Like, what? Like, sports game can always keep you interested, like you're staying there the whole game.
Probably basketball. Both basketballs.
That's a good answer.
I've tried the soccer. Like, I literally go and I'm just so confused. move the ball forward. And just, there's so many rules. I see flags going up in the air. I'm like, what does that mean? This is tough.
That's funny. We'll take a step back from sports. I know we were talking about Marvel for a little bit, so I don't know if I've caught you in between a binge watch, but is there a show that you're currently binge watching right now?
I'm binge watching a show, but it's not Marvel related.
What is it?
I'm binge watching Once Upon a Time. It was one of my childhood shows, just about like a fairy tale character. Yeah. And like, I've seen it before. I've seen all 7 seasons like 3 times, and like,
gosh,
it's just my guilty pleasure. But like, I am watching a Marvel show. I'm watching She-Hulk. If anyone would like to discuss, hit me up on Twitter. I wouldn't say I'm binge watching that necessarily, because I'm also watching the Lakers show on Hulu, which is really good. And yeah, so if anyone has like shows they would like to recommend to me, like, just give me a holler too.
All right, last fun question. If you had to eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be? Mine's easy. I feel like I have my dying meal locked in.
I mean the cop out answer would be like fried chicken, because I love fried chicken. But like, I also love seafood too. So I'm going to go more with seafood, like a seafood boil with crab, shrimp, sausage in there. Yeah, I'm going to go with seafood boil.
That sounds yummy. Well, Kendi, thank you for answering. I feel like I had so many questions for you, and I feel like I learned so much more that maybe I didn't even know about you before. And I'm super excited that everyone else will get to listen to all these answers that you kind of gave us too.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on and talk about life as a student athlete. I really appreciate it and can't wait to see you back on the field soon.
Of course, anything for you, Kendi.
All right, so see you guys next week. And meanwhile, remember to visit our Facebook page, Red and White College Volleyball, or at Red White College VB to register for our live events. Thanks for flocking around with us. I'm your host, Kendi. Boom.